sent down his son to suffer rejection and pay for crimes he had not done. For what earthly reason would the Father let him hang on a tree? I wept with the answer that one earthly reason was me. The fairest of angels were not summoned to the throne up in the sky to purchase my pardon. Not even the angels could die, and the only provision for my freedom was destined to be the sweet Lamb of glory, and his only reason was me. I was the reason that one earthly reason. I was the guilty. He was the reason was me. That one earthly reason was me.
All right. We're glad to have Brother Esposito. He's going to be with us tonight. You're leaving the beginning of next week, right? Or yes, sir. Next Wednesday night. So it was good to have him back with us for this short time, and we're glad to see him. He's going to come tonight and speak to us, so let's give him a warm welcome.
All right, if you have a Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It is good to be here. It's been a long 9 weeks, and getting ready to go back home to Cambodia. Glad to have the Rays here. By the way, just let your father know, I was just in a missions conference in West Virginia, and a young man's entire life and ministry has been changed because of some counsel that he got from your father. And he was in China, but he's going back to China. So he just shared that with me. We're thankful for the Ray family. The only thing about the Ray family I can't figure out is they're so tall, they're so white, and their hair is so red, it just doesn't fit in China. Somebody say amen. Now, I would fit into China. I look Chinese. If you're able to, go ahead and stand up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we've just got a few moments. What I want to do is share something with you, just some thoughts about Friend Day. Friend Day, for those of us who've been a part of Pacific Baptist Church and or Cambodian Baptist Church, Friend Day is just always been the biggest day of the year. It's always been a huge day. It's a day where just literally hundreds of visitors come. I was just told by Miss Mary just today that I think maybe this past Wednesday, maybe the Wednesday before, they were in Monterey Park, and Brother Beck asked them on their midweek service, how many of you came to Pacific Baptist Church Monterey Park the first time on Friend Day? She said 2/3 of the crowd raised their hand. Amazing. Somebody say amen. And I think about years ago when I had the winning side class, of course the Torreses were a deacon and deaconess in my class, but the highest attendance we ever had, I had just taken the class over probably a few months before that, and the highest attendance it had ever had was a previous Friend Day, I think if I remember correctly, 43 or 45 But that year we had 103 in our class, and that was a class that met outside. Somebody say amen. With somebody's dogs in the backyard. I forget whose dogs it was. But Friend Day's always been a great day. I was thinking a little bit about Jesse Forrester. Jesse was one of those who was invited for Friend Day by one of our zealous college students. And Jesse came on a Friday night to RU. He got saved. I preached. He got saved. And he came that Sunday. Then I think Friend Day was maybe 2 weeks later. I think Sarah came maybe the first time on Friend Day. Of course, I ended up marrying them in our office. And I mean, these were, Jesse was seriously unchurched. Somebody say amen. And I mean, we've seen him grow, and now his brother and I think girlfriend and adopted mother, and a lot of them come. And it all started with Friend Day. And by the way, many of you have that testimony. So we're going to share a few thoughts with you about Friend Day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 7 through 9, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Then we'll let you be seated this evening. Of course, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says in verse number 7, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God." Father, I pray that you'd bless in the few moments that we have. This coming Sunday will be a big day at Pacific Baptist in Long Beach and Pacific Baptist in Monterey Park. There will not be simply dozens, but there will be, no doubt, there will be hundreds of first-time visitors between the two churches. There will be many people here this coming Sunday and in Monterey Park who will be lost without Christ. No doubt there will be many who will be saved but have been out of church for a long period of time. No doubt there will be some in both of the different churches that at one time or the other, maybe they were burnt at a church, they were hurt, and they've been out of church for a while, and they made a decision. You've helped them to make a decision, and somebody in the church family helped them make a decision to visit this Sunday. I think about the lady who works at the hospital where Pastor Joe is. She's planning on coming this Sunday. So I do pray, Father, that you would give both Pacific Baptist Church of Long Beach and Monterey Park a wonderful day. I pray that many would come. And I pray that your spirit would move and hearts would be touched. Souls would be saved and lives would be changed because of Friend Day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I love to read different passages about the Apostle Paul. And you could see his heart, if you would, his pastoral heart. Paul, as I've mentioned at various times that I've preached here, Paul was a passionate man. He was passionate about a lot of things, but one thing he was passionate about people. He loved people. And as we just read here, the Apostle Paul is talking to a group of people, the Church of Thessalonica, and he's talking to a group of people that he loved dearly. And if you'll notice, if you still have your Bibles open, if you'll notice in verse number 7, he says, "We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." And you'll notice in verse number 8, he says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you," now notice this, "not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." Now, Friend Day is this Sunday, and really, we all know, those of us who are saved, we've been in church for any period of time, we all know that the ultimate goal for Friend Day is for people to come, for people to hear the gospel of God, and people to get saved. Somebody say amen. That's what it's all about. Every one of these contracts, they represent an individual, they represent a couple, they represent a family. Many of these, maybe most of these people, are lost without Christ. And we are going out, and you're going, you, Not so much me, because I haven't been in town, but you're going out and you're inviting people. You're inviting people from work. You're inviting people from school. You're inviting people at the gas station, where you go to the market. You're inviting people, and ultimately, the goal is that the gospel of God would be preached unto them, and they'd be saved. Somebody say amen. But Paul said, notice verse 8 again. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. So I want to take a few moments this evening, and I want to talk about the human element. Some of the things that I'll say, and I won't spend much time on some of the things that I'm sure you've already heard many, many times. But some of the things that I will say are things that I'm sure Brother Myers in recent days, maybe your adult Sunday school teacher, has shared with you. It's just the human element. Some of the things that we can do, Brother Myers shared a few with you just a few moments ago. See, because the Apostle Paul said this. He said, look, because I love you, I'm desirous of you. I not only wanted to give you the gospel, I not only gave you the gospel, but I gave you me. So I'm going to share a few thoughts with you today, because the truth of the matter is this. There are going to be hundreds of people here and at Monterey Park on Sunday. And I don't know any better way to say it, but you have one shot at them. They've promised to come one time. And the old saying, first impressions are lasting impressions. One shot. And the truth of the matter is, unless it's an unusually powerful service, the vast majority of them will not be saved this Sunday. I'm talking about unsaved people who have promised to come one time. They'll come and they'll hear the gospel, and there's a really good chance they'll never come again. So you have one shot. So I'm going to share a couple things that we can do. It's the human element. It's the loving the people. A couple things you may want to jot them down. Number one, of course, we could pray. Can I get you to say pray? Pray? We could pray. Look at, we cannot do anything without God doing it through us. And so in a few moments, we're going to take some time to pray, but that's not enough. We need to be praying every day. If you've got you have some of these contracts up here, you have some folks who've promised to come, you need to pray not only that they come on Sunday, as Brother Meyer said, and we all know this is true. Sometimes they say they're going to come, and sometimes they don't come. So we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray that God brings them here. We need to pray that once they get here, that it is an experience. It's an oppression that brings them back again. We need to pray if they're not saved that they'll get saved. By the way, there's going to be some people, Kyle Beck, right? Friend Day. Kyle Beck, who's now an assistant pastor at this church. Kyle Beck was away from the Lord. He had been away from the Lord for many, many years. By the way, if you didn't know that, don't tell him I told you. But anyway, he was away from the Lord for many, many years. On Friend Day, did Susan invite him? Susan invite, what? Brother Ross, brother, I was going to say somebody who didn't, who was away from the Lord too. Yeah, Brother Ross was away from the, but it, so invited Susan, who had been away from the Lord, and the two of them are one of our finest families in the church. They got right with God. There's going to be some of those folks here on Sunday. There are going to be some folks here. Maybe they're from our church. They've got away from the Lord. Maybe they're from other churches. They got burnt, whatever the case may be. We need to pray that God will do what needs to be done in their hearts and lives that we can't do. Number one, pray. Can I get you to say pray? Keep inviting. Brother Myers just gave you a list of five things. I mean, with technology today, I mean, there's so many things that you can do. My daughter and her husband, they have a what do you call it, food pantry, a food pantry in their church, and they put it on Facebook and everything. And they put it on Facebook, and man, they, If you feed them, they will come. Somebody say amen. Man, they said, man, the people were just coming and coming. Look at, many of us aren't social networking, but just keep inviting. It's not Sunday yet. Keep inviting. You'd be surprised. Sunday morning, you may stop for some gas Sunday morning, and you may be able to invite somebody. They'll come. Just keep inviting. Number three, and I've heard Brother Myers say this, be here. Can I get to say be here? Now, I know some of you are thinking, why are you telling us to be here? Because in the past, we've had people invite folks to come to Pacific Baptist Church for Friend Day, and the person who invited wasn't here. Somebody say amen. Or oh me. That is not good. It is not good. Look, if I invite somebody, man, you got to come to Friend Day. It's a great day. You're going to have a great time. And they're asking, hey, where's Brother Johnny, the short, bald-headed guy? Oh, he's not here today. You know what? My guess is they're not coming back. Hello? If it wasn't good enough for me to be here, they're thinking, man, if that dude doesn't want to be here, I don't want to be here. Be here. Be here on time. Somebody say amen. Now, look, I travel a lot, and, you know, I'm ex-military, and I know what I'm talking about. Baptists, we're not real good with time. Somebody say amen. And it's not just the Asians. It's all of us. And I don't know how many times I go to churches. Sometimes I beat the pastor there. Amen. But anyway, look, you don't want your friend to beat you here. You need to be here. You need to be here on time. Go out of your way to make them feel welcome. Now, this is huge. Look, if they're unsaved and they've never been in church before, this is just all foreign to them. This is culture shock. This is like when I moved to Southeast Asia. Somebody say amen. You have to understand, every once in a while, we need to understand. We need to put ourselves in their shoes. They're coming in here. Everybody's dressed different. We talk different. We're saying, turn to page, you know, 108 in the hymnal. They have no idea what a hymnal is. We're saying the first and the fourth stanza. They have no idea what a stanza is. Somebody say amen. You have to do your best to make them feel welcome. There was a young lady sitting up in front here tonight, and she didn't have a psalm book. I handed her my psalm book. That's what you have to do. You share the, by the way, I would share the psalm book with them. With your finger, help them. Because they're just going to read line by line, and they're going to be lost. Help them to feel welcome. And these are some of these things. Help them to know where the restroom is. Somebody say amen. And help them to know that the line here is long. Amen. But help them to feel welcome. By the way, not just your visitors, not just your friends. You see somebody, look, if you've been attending this church for any period of time, you pretty much know everybody. You know, you may not know their name, but you know them by face. Everybody sits in the same place. You all sit in the same place. You see somebody, and they look a little bit different. They're sitting in somebody's seat. By the way, don't fight over the seat. That's my seat, Robert. Don't do that, okay? You did that to me one time. No, don't do that. But make them feel welcome. Help them out. There's going to be folks here who, they're very suspicious about church. Very suspicious. They've had a bad experience. And they're going to come in, and you know, Pastor, you say this all the time, you know, they're going to want to get as close to the back door as possible. But wait, save the back seats for them, amen? They do not want to sit up on the front row. You say, neither do I. Let the visitors have their back seats, okay? But do everything you can to make them feel welcome. It's huge. It's big. Look them in the eye and say, man, we're so glad that you came today. Talk to them. Ask them, where are you from? How'd you find out about the church? Where do you work? You know, just let them see that you care. And you're glad that they're here. I remember when Pastor and myself, when we first started going to Gethsemane Baptist Church, it wasn't in Long Beach at that time, it was in Paramount. And Pastor's hair was down the middle of his back. Those were the days, amen? Now, I had short hair, but it wasn't by choice. I had short hair because I just got out of the military. But they made us feel very comfortable. You know, pastor came in with his Towncraft t-shirt, his blue jeans. Boy, those are the good old days. Robert, you remember those days. And, you know, they just made us feel so welcome. I can remember the different folks would come and just befriend us. You need to do it. We need to do it. Let me say this. Invite them out for lunch. Now, I don't know. Are you doing something after the service? Invite them out to lunch. I think you've all heard the story about Russell Anderson. Russell Anderson attended First Baptist Hammond many, many years ago. He was on vacation, him and his family. And, you know, they had him stand up, all the visitors stand up. And we don't do that here, but at that time, that was just common. And somebody after service just came up to them and said, hey, do you have any plans for lunch? They said, no, we didn't have any plans. They invite him out to lunch. The Bible college, it's called Hiles Anderson College. And it all started because a lay person in the church just said, would you like to go out to lunch with us? Now, they may not want to go, but I will say this. They'll be glad you asked. They'll be glad you asked. Invite them out for a meal. And by the way, if they're your, whether they're your visitor or not, just invite them for a meal. Hey, can we just take you out for a meal? By the way, this is something that was common at one time. It just isn't so much today. Invite them to a Starbucks or whatever. Here's one. If I understand correctly, everybody, church starts at 9:30, which is Sunday school. And everybody comes during Sunday school hour gets a gift card, right? Every visitor. Not everybody, I'm sorry. Starbucks? What is it? For Starbucks. Okay, let me just say this. If you have a visitor who comes late and they don't make it for Sunday school class, here's what you ought to do. Get them a Starbucks card. You, personally. Just say, man, I'm so glad you came. And, you know, I don't know how you're doing it, whether you're passing them out in Sunday school class or however you're doing is through the class. But, you know, if by chance you had said to them, if you come and you're here at 9:30, we'll get you a Starbucks card. And they show up late, which how many, you know, some of them are going to show up late. Give them a Starbucks card. Give them a Starbucks card. Then follow up. And this is really where it all counts. Now, if I remember correctly, on Tuesday, next couple Tuesdays, you take pies or something. You're going to follow up people. And the church is going to follow up all the visitors. But if you have visitors come, here's what you need to do. Just like the Apostle Paul said, like a nurse, like a mother, you care for them. We have about 2 minutes. One of the drawbacks to a friend day, there are so many benefits, but like anything else in life, there are assets and liabilities. One of the drawbacks is this. We invite folks and we say, will you be my friend? Will you come to friend day? And if we're not careful, within a week after friend day, we drop them like a hot potato. Now, they're never going to say anything. But here's what they're going to think. You're just like a used car salesman. You tried to get me in the box. I thought we were friends. One story, and then we'll be done real quickly. Daniel McGalvery was the first Protestant missionary, non-Catholic missionary in Southeast Asia in the 1850s. Big guy like the Rays, big white guy, long white beard, and he really scared all the Asians. I think I've shared with you about him before. Daniel McGalvery had a big impact in Southeast Asia because he was like the Apostle Paul. He did not want to just share the gospel of God only. He loved people. He befriended people. As a matter of fact, some of his best friends were Buddhist monks for years. He shared the gospel with them. They wouldn't get saved, but he still considered himself a friend, would sit down and drink tea with them, that type of thing. This coming Sunday, by the way, when he died, thousands in Thailand attended his funeral service. They made a statue of him. You say, why? Because he chose to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, usually when we preach that passage from Proverbs, we're talking about Jesus. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that's true. But the only Jesus these folks will see is the Jesus that they'll see through your life and mine. Let's stand. Let's pray.